Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
This week's episode of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by DollarShaveClub.com. There is no reason to use cheap and disposable razors or pay a ridiculously high price for a gimmicky thing that's got a laser pointer with 17 blades. Make the smarter choice and join Dollar Shave Club like I did. Before Dollar Shave Club, it was either save money and get a painful shave from a disposable one like they give away for free at the gym, which felt like shaving with a piece of glass, or pay a fortune for the latest gimmicky shave breakthrough, whatever that means, and I don't need, like a laser with a chin detector and 19 more blades. DollarShave.com is the best one in the world with a premium shave and a disposable price. Get a close shave that's smooth every single time, and you could beat the convenience for the price. But hey, chaps, you don't shave. Why should I? Well, folks, I do shave my butthole and my genitalia. So if you want to do that, there's no better razor to use, because you don't want to use a cheap razor around your bum. Trust me, I've done it before and got shaved. When you get ingrown hairs on your ass, it's the worst thing in the world. You don't want that. You get rid of ingrown hairs with a better razor. If you haven't tried DollarShaveClub.com, you're missing out. It's an amazing shave at an affordable price. There's no smarter choice on the market. And right now, they're giving away 1 month trial of razors for $1 with free shipping. And after that, it's just a few bucks a month. There's no long-term commitments, no hidden fees, and you cancel whenever you want. Get your $1 trial at DollarShaveClub.com/chaps. That's DollarShaveClub.com/chaps. Young Rizzy is already on the moon because he is one step closer to being part of the Bud Light Busters tournament. And if his team wins tomorrow, what are you going to do, Rizzy?
I'm going to go
tomorrow
nuts.
Or Saturday?
Saturday. They play Saturday. They play, I think, the four seed is Butler.
Yeah.
Is what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. I'm jacked up. Middle Tennessee, baby. Blue Raiders, bolt up. Apparently that's the thing, bolt up. Hashtag Bud Light Busters. But yeah, I love Vegas. Huge Vegas guy.
So I'm like...
So let me set the table for people who aren't big Barstool guys that might not know what we're talking about.
Yep.
Bud Light is sponsored with Barstool to... We had basically a lottery yesterday, a lottery slash a draft, where every single one of the bloggers or content guys at Barstool, we got to pick a number, and then we got to pick a team in the NCAA tournament that was a 9 seed or higher. So Riggs picked Tick's team. Connor picked his team. I picked my team. I picked East Tennessee State. They lost in the first round, so I'm already out. Connor's team plays tomorrow. Riggs, his team just played Middle Tennessee State, and they won. So if his team wins again on Saturday and makes it to the Sweet 16, he gets to go to Vegas on an all-expenses-paid trip, gets to go clubbing, gets to go play golf, whatever he wants to do, all-expenses-paid. Riggsy's on the moon.
Yep, it's true. I'm the first team to win. I think our head of sales, Jay, was getting very nervous that his whole marketing scheme here was going to end up with a bunch of losses. So he was rooting for me hard. And, yeah, Saturday's a big day now. I mean, that second half, it's looking – today was, like, exciting, but you still know you got another game.
I was watching, yeah. And Minnesota started making a little comeback. They started to make a little comeback. Were you getting nervous?
Yeah,
they got to within, like, 7, right?
Yep, we went from up 17 to up 6 or 7. I think it got down to – actually, it got down to 4 at one point. So I was very nervous, but then we kind of ran away with it again. I think it ended up winning by – I walked out of the room 10 seconds left. We were up like 11 or something like that. So, yeah, feels good.
Yeah, and I mean –
And I'll – go ahead, Connor.
I was just going to say, you're talking about Vegas. You love the Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a fan of Vegas. I've done it a handful of times now with various groups of people. It's always a good time. But if I never went to Vegas again, I could probably live my life and be okay with that. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, the fact that there is a – baller-ass suite and it's all completely paid for, that ups the ante. Because if you can go to Vegas and you basically, you're starting at zero, like you haven't spent any money and you're already there and everything's taken care of, I've never experienced Vegas like that before. So
it's kind of a carefree, you know, you kind of show up, you're just like, whatever happens, happens. I agree. And I'm going to be going in about a month or 5-6 weeks from now for a bachelor party anyways, which would be,
wow.
So it could be a hell of a stretch here for old Riggsy boy.
See, I like Vegas for like 24 hours. After that, I'm fucking sick of it because you have to walk so far, everything, and everybody's like, oh, you get free drinks. Dude, how could you even say that? But it's the bottom of the well drinks that come for free.
Oh,
if you
want
good drinks, you got to play. You got to pay to play, just like anywhere else.
We are all past the point in our life where we need to rely on free drinks. Thankfully, we can all pay for our own drinks, so that's not really that alluring to me. I think probably the most alluring part about Vegas for me is the fact that everyone there, unless you're there, I'd imagine, for like a work conference, and even if you are, but everybody there is of the same mindset. Like, I'm in Vegas, I'm here to have a good time. So you know everyone's basically on the same level. So that's fun.
And I think that's probably why I'm not a Vegas guy. I mean, which might be surprising people knowing how much I do like to drink. I like to drink, but I like to drink just with my pals. I don't like drinking whenever it's loud as fuck in a bar where I have to scream at whatever they're saying, where I have to wait forever. If I want another drink, I'm going to walk my dumbass into my office, go to my awesome whiskey selection, and pay nothing for it. Because I've already paid, and it's a lot cheaper.
I agree. There's definitely a time and place for that. I kind of like both. It totally depends.
Agreed.
I could go with a crew. I've gone where I don't even know, you know, most of the guys, with my brother, for example, on a bachelor party with a bunch of his friends and had a great time. I've gone with just a small group of 3 or 4 of my good buddies from school and had a great time in Vegas. So it really is. It's kind of what you make of it. But I'm a huge gambler, too. So I like to just kick it at the tables. And I
think probably why I'm not. Yeah, you guys are single. No, you're not. And you're responsible for your own finances.
Exactly.
If I lose a lot of money, I have somebody else to answer to. You guys just have your own wallet.
And that's a big part of kind of the you like to hang out with your buddies that you're talking about, Chaz, because if you like to gamble, you get 4 or 5 of you sitting at a table, whether it's blackjack, whether it's roulette. You guys all sit there and you kind of feel like you're all playing on the same team against the house. You got your own little crew at your own table. They're bringing you drinks. The drinks are technically free, which is nice. You might be up a little bit. You might be down a little bit. Who knows? But, yeah, it's great. It's just to kick it. Like Connor said, the whole vibe, everybody's excited. So here I am talking about it. Of course, my team will probably get fucking shit kicked on Saturday. But, yeah, I love Vegas.
No, and there's so much to do there, too. I mean, there's more to do there than just going to the clubs and maybe to the pool parties. Don't get me wrong. That's fun. But, I mean, if you go, you're probably going to play golf. You're going to snake around a golf out there, which is fantastic.
Definitely.
You know, there's spas. There's all sorts of attractions to go do. And, you know, you keep it fresh. A lot of different ways to do Vegas.
Yeah.
Speaking of golf, Riggsy, I took down my movie theater in my garage, and I'm installing a driving range.
A
little net. I'm going to get the simulator. I'm going to do all that. So it's going to be like having a Topgolf at my house.
That's a great idea. The simulators now, they make them, you know, you can get affordable ones that are still solid and all that. So I'm very, Chaps, I'm very jealous. Nice to be able to go out.
I'm looking at is like $300. That's not that bad at all.
That's great. Like I said, it's nice. Just stumble into the garage for 5 or 10 minutes, take some swings. That feels nice.
Get those reps in. Yeah, but let's not gloss over. Go ahead.
Arnold Palmer, he's playing his last tournament this week, right?
No, he passed away.
Oh, Arnold Palmer died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Newsflash.
What? This is
breaking news.
Breaking news. Arnold Palmer passed away.
I thought he was playing his last tournament.
No, it passed away in the fall / into the summer last year.
I missed that. I'm on Twitter like all the time.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
I thought you'll be missed. They meant like because he's not playing anymore, not because he's dead.
Yeah,
he passed
away.
No, he physically will not be there. So it's very much they're going to miss him.
So, yep. It's definitely he's not playing any more tournaments anymore.
Right.
RIP to the golden one.
Yeah, the king. The golden bears, Jack Nicklaus.
Well, he did say,
Jack Nicklaus is still alive.
Not having a good day, boys. Not having a good day.
Hey,
but let's not gloss over the statement that Chaps just said. I have to take down my movie theater so I can install a golf simulator.
Yeah, that we don't have those fucking problems up here in the city, Chaps.
That's true. You don't.
Son of
it's
a bitch.
Definitely a Texas problem to have.
Yeah.
No, that's a good problem to have. You know, it's all about getting reps. You know, as Michael
wasn't it Arnold Palmer that said you needed 100 a day to really be an efficient golfer?
There, I'm not sure who originated that, but they have, many people have said and repeated over the years that just go take 100 swings a day, especially for people that live in, you know, tough winter climates where you can't actually go out and play golf. Said find a place in your apartment or in your garage or in Texas if you have a full simulator and a bowling alley and everything in your house. Find room there and just go take 100 swings.
Ever since Michael Breed was on your show, I've been taking swings in my living room every night when I'm watching TV.
It's a great call. I started doing it probably 3 or 4 years ago. Hank Haney mentioned it in his book, and I started doing it over the wintertime, and I was shocked that when I would start playing again, I still had my swing a little bit.
Yep.
And the dry swings really help because you kind of feel like what you're doing wrong, you know? Like you can see real, you're not focused on hitting the ball or how far you're hitting it. You're seeing where is my club face right now? How are my hands right now?
Yeah, and it's nice now with everything with YouTube and all that. You could just take a quick video of your own, go kind of just compare it to what you see and try to get in different places, different positions. So, I'm jealous, chaps. The Texas life sounds nice.
Speaking this isn't really ZBT related at all, but no. I watch a lot of these videos of these golf dudes that it's two British guys. They're great at instructions, but it's problematic because they dress exactly the same, like they're twins. I don't get it. Like, I could stomach a lot more of the video, but after like 3 or 4 minutes of watching them wear the same clothes as adults, I'm like, that's weird. Or it'll be like one tiny thing different, like they'll be wearing a different belt. I'm like, I realize that you guys are sponsored by this crew, but they surely make more than one outfit.
Yeah. Speaking of sports, though, last weekend we had Riggsy come out, Riggsy along with Fights, and they played in the Heal Our Heroes, Bad Hockey for a Good Cause. And let me tell you, old Riggsy boy can skate. He was probably there was a
Division I skater, my friend. Yeah. I had no doubt he could.
There was an ex pro playing in the game, so that guy could. He was pretty good. But overall, Riggs was pretty much the best guy out there on the ice, or just nearly the best guy out on the ice.
I was buzzing.
Yeah, he was buzzing. So let me say, he comes out first period, scores a goal, and I'm thinking, yo, Riggsy about to have himself a day. And then old Julie the Cat.
Dude,
she stonewalled you.
I was buzzing. I was absolutely, as a hockey we would say, my mitts were working. I had unreal hands. I was getting through the D, no problem. I could not score. It was a chick goalie. She had a pink helmet, like pink gloves and shit
on. She was tiny, too.
She was tiny, and she made like a, she flashed the leather, as we say, made a nice glove save on me and really like showed it off early in the first period.
Well, yeah. Glove save and a beaut, actually.
And then, exactly. And then she was just in my head the rest of the time. I couldn't score. I missed like three breakaways and all that. But anyways, unbelievable cause. What a great crew of guys and people, the support out there. Went all the way out. It was like 2 hours out in East Hampton. And it was cold. We still had a good turnout. Great cause, great people. Went out to the bar after, had a couple drinks. So it was a great time. Connor, thanks again for that, man.
Yeah, we really appreciated that you and Fights came out and supported, and glad you guys had a good time. And hopefully we'll get you back out again next year.
Absolutely.
Riggsy, are you a Game of Thrones guy?
I am, but here's my biggest issue is that I missed like the first season and a half. Mm. So I love it and I watch it, but my foundational understanding of it is weak.
Connor, you?
I'm not. I at this point.
That surprises
that
me.
That shocks me.
I know, because as much TV as I watch, yes. No, but here's what it is. Because Barstool reports on it so closely, I see from afar how detailed it is, and I see that it is a show that requires your full attention, which I'm not opposed to, but it's so far into it now that I don't know how I would get. I mean, obviously, I have Netflix and everything's on demand, but I don't have the patience, I don't think, to get into a show that is however many seasons deep that's going to require a lot of my.
Yeah.
Seven seasons of an hour long show, however many episodes. That would take me a long time to catch up at this point. So at this point, I'm just like, you know what? That one
is
passed
hard,
me by.
Because I've been watching from the get-go, and it's hard to, like, keep the names and everything, straight. Because they're weird old names, man. Like, I like shows that have names like Josh and Steve. Like, when it's, like, fucking Khaleesi or Armadea or whatever the fucking Princess of Darkness who calls in the little lava baby. Like, whoever the fuck that is. I've been watching from the get-go. I'm not good with names. Connor, you know that. I fucked up our intern's name, like, a million times. Terrible at it. But one thing you guys know about from the show is Khaleesi's dragons, right? You're familiar with those.
Oh, yeah.
So we had a segment a couple weeks ago where we did who would win, like a battle scenario. So I wanted to kick this one over to you guys. Who do you think would win in a battle of two F-18s versus the three Khaleesi Dragons?
Ooh. Well, give me some info on these dragons. What kind of firepower are we working with?
There's one scene in particular, and if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. They're in a place that looks like Egypt. I don't know if it's Egypt or not, but Khaleesi is talking to like the head council of this group, and the dragons just basically come and fuck up the entire city.
Okay.
Like, in no time, they're knocking out like 10, 15 people. Maybe it was, might even more of that. Everybody dies real quick. The dragons either bite their heads off or they blow fire everywhere. So it's a they're pretty substantial dragons. Like they're pretty powerful. They fuck up fleets of ships with no problem, like old pirate type ships, and they're a pretty formidable little bunch.
So, all right, here's what my gut tells me. F-18 obviously carries a lot of firepower.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the F-18 is faster than the dragon. Because I don't think these dragons can go Mach speeds.
Right.
However, I don't think the F-18s would be able to match up against the dragons in terms of agility. I feel like the dragons could change direction a lot better than the F-18s, and that would give them enough of an advantage where they would be able to inflict their firepower on the F-18, thus rendering it dead.
So here's what I think. I think I look at it like a boxing match.
Okay.
I think that if you're the F-18, you have to keep the dragons at distance. You have to keep them at arm's length because you could pump them from afar. Like you said, Connor, I think the F-18s are way faster.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as agile. So if you get in tight, I think the dragons got a shot.
Yep.
You keep your distance, you kind of buzz around, you know, you play it smart. I don't see how the F-18s could lose. But if those dragons outsmart you a little bit, somehow sucker you in, lure you into getting close,
I mean,
I think they're lethal and tight.
Yeah, if the dragons put on the brakes and let the F-18s fly right by.
Yeah, and they could, you know, they're creepy. Maybe they head into the mountains a little bit. They're like creeping behind a, you know, I don't know, a peak.
Here's my question creeping that behind I have some peaks. About, from a scientific perspective about the dragons. What is the residual heat that comes from the dragon's mouth?
That's what I'm saying. What's their firepower?
Not even just firepower, but what is the heat of their mouth whenever it's in there? Because F-18s are equipped with heat-seeking missiles. So if the missiles are going off and they're searching from a long distance, the hottest source of heat that's around, I feel like the F-18s win in a landslide because the dragon's fire, while hot, isn't heat-seeking, so it's not going to go after the jet thrusters of the F-18.
Yeah, and also, the dragon has to be in close for their fire to inflict any sort of damage on the F-18s.
And not only that, but the F-18s also equipped with really high caliber guns as well.
Yeah,
not just
they
the
can
missiles.
Just pump.
So there's going to be a lot of suppressive fire that's laid down. And if the dragon gets involved with one of those guns that's coming whenever it's strafing, that's going to be problematic for the dragons, too.
And help me out here, guys. How well do these dragons work together? Because we know if you give me two F-18s...
They're a pretty fucking good team.
Okay. They're all like brothers and sisters, too. Okay. Shit.
Yeah, they were hatched at the same time.
So, I mean, I feel like that's a bond. That's an advantage.
Yeah.
Having that kind of bond from day one.
You know how twins are fucking weirdos and they can know what each other are thinking?
That's true.
So like, you might have a little bit of triplet weirdo dragon shit going on.
They're smart and they have such good chemistry that they're not going to put themselves in a position where they just get dusted. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think they could be able to survey the situation and put up a fight, but at the end of the day, it's tough to make a great argument that the F-18s wouldn't win.
I think I agree with that. You know, push comes to shove. I think I'm going F-18s, but I don't think it's just cut and dry, clear cut. I think the dragons
could put up a
fight. Even
if the dragon has a chance to, like, knock it out of the air, the F-18's angles on it are metal, and they're sharp angles, and they're going crazy fast. So even if the dragon tried to swat it down with one of its big wings, I feel like the F-18 would, like, cut its wing off, even if it was just trying to knock it down.
That's a great
point. The only question is, can it blow enough fire to blow it up? It's not going to knock it down. Its only question is, is it going to be hot enough? But it's F-18's going so fast that it doesn't even have time to blow it up.
Yeah, so even if it gets fire on the F-18, he's so fast out of there that I feel like it has to be a prolonged fire on the F-18 to take it down.
Let me ask you this. What if the Dragons were or are just as fast as the F-18s?
Whoa. That certainly changed things.
That opens up a different can of worms, yeah, because then the Dragon could follow it and get a lot of fire going on.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Because realistically, if the F-18s are just way faster, there's pretty much nothing. They could just fly around in circles or whatever. Because
they could just run away, turn around,
they're not Mach speed. They're not breaking the sound barrier. No.
Really?
Yeah, then I don't think they – it's just tough. I feel bad for
them.
You have a better argument instead of F-18s if the hypothetical would have been – choppers, if you're going after like a Blackhawk.
Yeah.
I feel like in that scenario the Dragons would have a better chance, because you could fuck up a helicopter a lot faster than you could an F-18.
Yeah, again, because the I think the helicopter's even less agile than the F-18.
Yeah, it's sad. I like the Dragons, but I think they get toast.
I do too. I think they're
so I think we're unanimous there. I think F-18s are knocking out Khaleesi's Dragons.
All right, well, how about we do one more?
Got to the bottom of that.
Yeah, let's do one more though, keeping with the cinema theme. Because we got a tweet a while back from Beerface67, and this one stood out to me because this is from a gentleman that I played college football with.
Ooh.
Good guy. Still in the Army.
Where'd you go to college?
West Point, and we'll get back to that later.
Heard of it.
Okay. I'm surprised that we're going to get back to that.
Yeah.
He's actually going back there to teach this fall, so you guys will get a chance to meet him. But he asked, would you take the English Army from Braveheart versus two soldiers with 50 cal machine guns with exactly twice as many bullets as there are people in the English Army? Now, just for argument's sake, I looked up the battle from Braveheart. The English Army was about 9,000 men, roughly 2,000 cavalry, 7,000 infantry. So you got 2,000 horses in there, too. So English Army are two soldiers with 50 cal machine guns.
Riggs, you go first.
So,
let me give you some specs here to help you too. The rate of
fire. Oh, that's cheating. Don't
All right. All right. I won't give you specs. All right.
So, my thinking is really right out of the gate, I don't think that's enough ammunition to win.
Okay.
For those two guys. Because there's no fucking way. So, are you saying that each soldier of the two with the 50 cals, they each have 2x the ammo, or total they have 2x?
Total, they have exactly twice as many bullets as there are. So they have...
Oh, there's no chance. There's no way then that the shooting percentage is 50% on those things.
I agree with Riggs.
There's
Before
no chance.
Before you go in, Connor, there's not a chance. I take the fucking British Army every single time.
I think like
because
there's
just with one single trigger pull of the machine gun, you're letting loose like at least 10.
Right, that are going to – those 10 might hit one guy, which is fine for that one guy.
But they're
going
to go through several layers.
That's what I was going to say. Let me play a little devil's advocate here.
It depends on the angle of the hill that they're attacking down too. Like if there's going to be a little arithmetic.
Let's just say it's a flat ground, for argument's sake. Devil's advocate here. A 50 cal round, Riggs, is about like 5 or 6 inches.
Okay.
It's a big round.
Right.
And it can definitely penetrate, because you got to figure these guys aren't wearing, you know, really super
And it's a
duper.
Little bit thick. You remember the kindergarten pencils that you would use whenever you first started to write? The projectile is not as long as that, but it's a little bit thicker.
Okay.
So it could definitely penetrate the human body.
That's a serious round.
But the English Army, they did have armor.
It'll fuck you up for sure.
It'll fuck you up.
I don't want to get hit by one of those, to be honest with you.
No.
So, although the shooting percentage wouldn't be a one for one, like, you know, a high percentage, it's possible that one round could inflict death upon multiple people.
Okay.
And it's also possible that one round misses and doesn't hit shit.
Right, which I think is going to happen a lot. Okay. A lot of it then also comes down to timing and element of surprise. Because if this whole army is just marching up a fucking hill and they don't know these guys are there, and they're perched perfectly, they could fucking mow them down for like 5-10 minutes before they even knew what's going on. Now, if they're prepared in some degree, I think the English Army will win. The British Army.
Go ahead.
If I think that they'll have a really good shot, because like I said, there's no way, even factoring into the 50 cal could take out 10 people every now and then, the total shooting percentage would have to be 50% in order for them to take everybody out. And I don't think it's going to be anywhere near that. I don't know that stat off the top of my head, but I know, like, even in World War One, early parts of World War One, a lot of the rounds, a lot of the artillery they were shooting was, like, if it connected at, like, a fraction of 1%, that was, like, pretty average, pretty normal.
Yeah.
So you're getting up to 50 is what you'd have to be at. I just thought that seems like a lot to overcome.
And are the machine gunners starting out with having to put together the weapon? Are they BZO'd? Is their headspace and timing, like, correct right from the jump? Because you're gonna use some rounds going through getting on target.
All right, let's just assume for argument's sake.
That's a good point.
That's a great point. That is a great point. I will give you that. But let's assume that their weapon is, you know, rock cock ready to go, and that they can just start shooting and they'll be on target. And let's also assume that it's just like in Braveheart.
So we're going to give them modern weapons and assume that everything that they should have done correctly is done correctly.
Yes.
Even if that's the case, I'm still going British Army because there's no way that many people that you're going to, even if there's like five or six left and all those guys had was two machine guns, I think they're fucked. If you leave five or six, you got five or six guys with guns versus two guys that don't. Give me the five or six guys with guns over the two guys that don't.
Yeah, I will say this. The two guys with the 50 cals are going to get off to a hot start. Like, they're going to be fucking mowing people down for a couple minutes. But like you said, even if you got a handful of people left and all you've got are those empty, you know, guns, you got nothing. And I think it'll be a lot more than that. I think it'd be, you know, 50, a couple hundred left and you're just fucked.
Even if our Braveheart fellas, even if they're coming with fixed bayonets too. And they've been carrying around long, heavy weapons for a long time with fixed bayonets. So I feel like those are some jacked dudes. They're going to be strong as fuck because they've been carrying heavy equipment.
Well,
so once they get to you and you're just a machine gunner, I mean, a machine gunner is strong too because a machine gun, any part of the machine gun squad is strong as shit because they're carrying machine gun rounds and weapons and fucking tripods, all kinds of shit.
I'm going British Army.
You're taking the machine gunners cons?
No, I was just seeing what you guys were going to say. I was just presenting the argument. I totally agree. I think it's the English Army, too, for all the reasons you guys said. I think it really just comes down to numbers. They will not be able, by the time they are, because they're not going to stop advancing and stop moving once they are fired upon. They're going to start moving. So you figure they just got to go from, like, one side and try to, like, move to the other.
Flank them.
Just by sheer numbers alone. And the English Army had their shit together, so they would be able to pull some maneuvers to where they would be able to take over a machine gun nest of only two guns.
Yeah. All right, so let's pause for effect, adjust fire, and change up the scenario a little bit. I give you a 50 caliber sniper rifle with unlimited ammunition. The same 9,000 are coming after you. I give you an elevated position on top of a mountain. I give them a mile head start. Can you take everybody out before they get to you?
That's hard. Can
one
we,
sniper.
What,
one
what's,
single sniper.
What is the assume the sniper's expert? He's an unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be a sniper without being a good shot. I mean, you have the MOS or the military job.
No. But it's like, you know, there's doctors that graduated at the bottom of their class. So there's snipers that aren't as good as other snipers. Can I assume I got the best sniper to ever snipe?
Sure, you're not Carlos. Yeah, you're Carlos Hathcock.
Okay.
I could do it.
I think I could do it.
Do you get to, like, build out your whole, path up to you on the mountain, too, so you could basically be, like, taking people out all the way until they get right on top of you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I could do it. I think I could do it. It's a lot of shots, but... That's a mile. They got to climb a mountain like that. It's a lot of shots.
I think a Barrett has a 7-round magazine, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's a 7-round. Do you know off the top of your head, Connor?
No, I don't know off the top of my head.
I think it's a 7-round magazine.
It's a big number. It's probably you'd be the underdog, but I think I could do it.
I think you're definitely the underdog. I just, from a time standpoint, again, would you have the amount of time necessary to take everybody out before they get to you? I know you're up on a mountain, so that's giving you a buffer. But I don't know. I just don't think, because you got to assume too. You got 2,000 cavalry. you got guys on horses, so they're going to be able to charge closer to that mountain a lot faster.
You got to take those guys out first. That's 2,000 okay. shots. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. You'd have to really you'd have to bring the numbers down to really be able to do it, but like
it holds 10. The magazine holds 10. So you'd have to do there's 9,000. You're the Harvard guy and West Point guy. What's the math? If there's 10 in each one, 900, you'd have to do 900 magazine changes and a mile and a half of running. So you're doing 900 magazine changes.
Yeah, you're fucked, I think.
Yeah, that's 900 what I'm
magazine.
Saying.
And if everybody's running an 8-minute mile, you have to do 900 magazine changes and get locked back on two moving targets in 12 minutes.
But in theory, then
that's
they
a
also,
lot, dude. But don't, that's a lot. But don't, maximum effective fire.
No, you definitely can't do that. But don't they have to then climb a mountain, too? That was like my point about like.
Yeah.
So they're going up the mountain while they're doing it. So you might have. I mean, at most, what, 45 minutes? Depending on how steep the mountain is. If you're going up like Mount Kilimanjaro, you might
definitely
have a
can't do 900
problem.
Round changes and hit everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no. But
I think I'm still sticking with the Army.
Yeah, the Army's going to dust you there. There's
it'd be a lot more fun to watch.
Be intense.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be a really intense 45 minutes.
Yeah, I think it'd be a close fight. I think it'd be closer than we might think. But.
You would get run over, obviously. But it would just be, I wonder what number would make it, like, close.
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
Because I think 9,000, I don't know if that would be very close.
I think 9,000
is
too
much. High of a number.
Maybe a couple hundred. Maybe like 500.
That's what I mean. Like somewhere around there where you could actually make it close. But even at the 900 fucking reloads, you have to hit everyone. You have
exactly.
to
shoot 100%.
Exactly.
You're not missing
anybody.
You're
shooting down on a mountain. There's going to be a lot of different wind changes and gust
that's,
changes.
That's a great point. So the way I would fire at someone when they start at their line where they're starting versus a half mile from that, like you have to make adjustments on your rifle.
Oh yeah.
Between the magazine changes, the adjustments you'd have to make, the adjustments you would have to account for in terms of the weather, the wind. I think there's just too many factors going into the scenario to where you couldn't do it in time.
My original answer was moronic. You would be you'd be shocked if you got 10% of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
So,
all right. So the next part of Zero Block 30, we're going to get into. We have an interview with Hope Sec coming up, and we're going to talk about the Facebook scandal that has been going around. Not just the Marine Corps now, but we recorded this last week, and the original thing was just Marines, but now there's Navy involved, Air Force involved, Army as well. So, Connor, why don't you tell the folks who it's brought to you by?
Okay, our interview with Hope is brought to you by Stamps.com. Listen, these days, everybody's moving a mile a minute. Nobody has time to run errands anymore. No one has time to go to the post office, especially because government workers, they close the doors at like 3 o'clock. So no one can get to a post office. And if you're like me and you still like to send letters, handwritten letters, you still need some postage. So go to Stamps.com. Where you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. Right now, if you go to stamps.com and use the special promo code ZERO, you will get a 4-week trial that includes postage and a digital scale so you can weigh things if you're sending packages. It's probably coming real handy at the Christmas time. And, go there right now. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in ZERO. That is stamps.com. Enter ZERO. Stamps.com. Screw the post office. Don't go there ever again.
Well, now on Zero Block 30, we have Hope Hodgsek, who is an award-winning investigative and enterprise reporter who's been covering military issues since 2009. She covers the Marine Corps and Navy for military.com. She previously has assignment that included a war zone who was embedded in Afghanistan with the Marines and a stint aboard the USS Iwo Jima, which you recognize that namesake from our guest from last week. Her awards include multiple North Carolina Press Association honors, a 2015 Marine Corps Heritage Foundation Award for feature writing, the Military Reporters and Editors Association 2015 Award for domestic military coverage, and a 2016 American Legion for Fourth Estate Award for print writing. She's a graduate of the King's College in New York City. Her work has also appeared in the Marine Corps Times, Newsweek, USA Today, the New York Sun, and World Magazine. And now she's on Zero Block 30. Hope, welcome to Zero Block 30.
Hi, thanks for having me.
That's quite the introduction.
That's what I was going to say. That is impressive, Hope.
Well, I did write it all myself, so don't give me too much credit.
So your life as a military writer for military.com and the things that you've covered, I noticed your Twitter account has been ablaze this week with a scandal that I'm sure a lot of our listeners are aware of. And that scandal is the Facebook Marine scandal, which I hate as a former Marine having it attached to the entire branch. But can you kind of walk us through what is happening now with the Facebook scandal?
Sure. First of all, I've gotten some criticism for even what reporters are calling it. In headlines, you're seeing a lot of nude photo sharing scandal, Marines nude photo sharing activities, and a lot of people think that just doesn't go far enough. It's important to note that this was non-consensual. These were images that were, for the most part, supposed to be private, the sort of things that boyfriends and girlfriends share or spouses, and they're being shared on these sites. So yeah, we're in, I think, day five of what is absolutely mayhem. I just recently, earlier today, had a conversation with a defense official who essentially said this is make or break for the Marine Corps. Essentially, how the Marine Corps deals with this will determine its future and its reputation. So it doesn't get any more serious than that.
No, and for those that might not know what you're hinting at, there's oftentimes, it's really not a public thing, where they've talked about shutting the Marine Corps down several times because the Marine Corps can be viewed by some as redundant, like that you have the Navy, you have the Army, and the Marine Corps is like the illegitimate love child of both. And those have been talked about for years. Is that what you're referring to, Hope?
Yes. Essentially, right now the Marine Corps, I think you probably know the quote just as well as I do. America doesn't need a Marine Corps. It wants a Marine Corps. There's nothing more American than the Marine Corps, up to and including apple pie. It's got the highest approval ratings of any organization anywhere, as far as I'm concerned. And this is dealing a huge blow to the reputation of the organization. So yes, it's probably a question that will be asked by lawmakers.
And it's
forward.
Not something that is new, right? Like when we talked originally, you had said that you would cover something like this that happened in 2013. For those of you that have forgot, what happened in 2013?
That's exactly right. In 2013, the predecessor to this Marines United Facebook page, there were actually several. One was called Just the Tip of the Spear. There was another one, I think, called F and Boot. Some various pages. That would essentially take the photographs of female service members, and these were not nude photographs on a Google Drive. A lot of them were just images circulating or things that they stole from their Facebook pages. And they would make sexual comments, they would harass the women in the pictures and send them friend requests and follow them around. And this got the attention of a congresswoman, Representative Jackie Speier, who wrote some really urgent letters to the commandant at the time, General Jim Amos. And he promised to look into it and offered some solutions. But as far as I can tell, not too much changed. Some people, I think, were investigated, and that was dealt with on a command level. But that was sort of the predecessor, and there was no kind of top-down sweep to get rid of this behavior.
And I remember I was active duty whenever this happened, and the biggest thing that happened was you got your big talking to. And Connor, you know what those are like, mm-hmm. where you sit down in a battalion-level meeting, and they're like, you motherfuckers, if you fucking do this, you're going to get negative paperwork, blah, 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 blah. But you knew deep down inside, especially when these groups were so widespread, that it was really difficult to manage. Did you find that as an officer, Connor?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And especially it's gotten harder now as social media and the internet has become even more prevalent. I mean, Chaps, you and I aren't removed from the military that long, but even in that short period of time, things have gone drastically forward in terms of how much our soldiers are using social media and how much of a face they have on there. And I kind of hope, I want to take a step back. You know, as Chaps had mentioned to you, you know, I was in the Army. So even that said, I can't imagine our country without the Marine Corps. Whether we need it or want it, you know, throw that out the window. You know, I think the Marine Corps is very much, as you said, part of the fabric of the United States of America. So I can't imagine it without the Marine Corps. So that said, you know, you talk about something that happened in 2013, and you talk about this is happening now in 2017. Do you view this as an incident that's just big enough to take down the Marine Corps, or do you view this more as sort of the straw that's going to break the camel's back?
Obviously, to me, it's obvious that this is not just about a Facebook page. And this activity, you know, I think everyone agrees is over the line when you link to a hard drive of nude images that are being shared around, and the people in the images aren't aware that they're being shared. But a lot of people are asking some really key questions about what this says about the culture of the Marine Corps. The way that Marines are taught to treat women, but maybe even more specifically, their female counterparts in uniform. So those are the big questions. There's an investigation, you know, Naval Criminal Investigative Service is looking into these people who ran this Facebook page, and I'd be very surprised if we didn't see criminal charges out of this. But the whole broader picture is, how do Marines talk about women in the military? And Chaps, I'm sure you've heard all these jokes, but the fact that people make memes about, you know, make me a sandwich or women belong in the kitchen, right. All of these things kind of tie into a root issue that I think leadership is just now trying to wrap its arms around.
You know, I could get, just while I'm sitting here, I haven't even thought about this before, but I think this is going to fall under, and is not dismissing it at all, but I think this is going to get pushed aside. And this, I think, let me clarify, what I think Sergeant Major Green was trying to do was essentially, by not coming out and stomping it like they should have, you're basically making this the military version of locker room talk. Like, you're like, yeah, this is just what, this is what dudes do. Like, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah, because I mean, I was going to say,
it wasn't just 2013. It happened in 2007, where there used to be a group called Make Her Famous. If you cheated on your spouse of any kind while you were deployed, then you would get your nudes like circulated as well. And it's gross. And I think that the leadership, like Sergeant Major Green, his statement did not go nearly as far enough. Like, they really need to take it seriously. And as far as the culture of the Marine Corps goes, I think that goes down with individual group leaders, because there are certain leaders that wouldn't tolerate that no matter what. And there's certain that let you get away with it. And whatever they let you get away with, I think that's the rope that they're going to take. And it's disgusting. Like, I think it's terrible that you're doing that, especially when you're trying to make it a full combat force where men and women can train together and work together. When you're belittling people that way, it makes it really, really difficult.
Yeah, and I hope, I mean, you're obviously privy to, you report on the Navy, but, you know, reporting on the Marines and the Navy, I'm sure you're privy to the other services as well. And I got to tell you, I would not have been surprised if this was any one of our branches of service. You know, it's obviously...
Yeah, I don't think it's a Marines. It just happened to be the Marines that got caught this time. It definitely could be.
You know, I think it speaks to the greater culture that is within our military. And would you agree that, you know, this is something that needs to be addressed, not just by the Marine Corps, but the other branches of the service need to look at this and say, all right, maybe we need to look into how we're dealing with situations like this. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely. I think there will be, first of all, avenues to do that. I was just in a congressional hearing yesterday where all the senior enlisted leaders of the services were answering questions about this. And the fact is that Navy corpsmen are caught up in this particular scandal, so that will come under scrutiny from the Navy side. And the Sergeant Major of the Army, Dan Daly, talked about policies that the Army has been putting in place as recently as this year to fight similar issues. So culturally, yes, absolutely. I think you're right that enlisted troops from probably every branch have their own stories. The Marine Corps, I think, gets a little bit more of the spotlight because they've got the greatest disparity. Only 7% of Marines are women, and that's a smaller ratio than any of the other services. And so there are a lot of places in the Marine Corps that you can exist and work and really not interact with any female counterparts. So it's possible that some of those culture issues are even further exacerbated because of that.
Do you think that it's because the Marines are so different and they view themselves so different, male and female, because we are the only branch of service who still separates in basic training? Do you think that plays a role, like that they're just different from the very beginning? They have different physical standards. They have different training sites, all that.
I've written stories about this, and, you know, I don't want to come out and take a position. Should they or shouldn't they integrate their basic training? I'll tell you the Marine Corps position, which is that a survey was done a study in 1997 that actually affirmed their method of teaching separately and said it's good that you lessen the distraction of the integrated genders and you have, you know, female recruits with a female drill instructor role model. So that's their position. The other side of it is these anecdotes you hear where, you know, male recruits who do not interact with their female counterparts at boot camp learn that female Marines are nasty or to be avoided or dirty or sluts. And
that's 100%.
I've even heard anecdotes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's when I can picture my drill instructor saying it right now. Like, do you want to go down to 4th Battalion because it smells like fish? Like, I mean, and 4th Battalion, those don't know, 4th Battalion on Paris Island is only women.
And, I mean, there's tons of anecdotal evidence of that. You know, does it happen in every boot camp rotation? Maybe not, but clearly it's happening. And I've even heard stories of there's like a climbing apparatus and an obstacle course down there at Paris Island. I haven't seen it myself, but there's like a shorter ladder or wall that's called the 4th Battalion wall. That's what I've heard.
Yep, that is
just
true.
This repeated emphasis that, you know, women are less capable, that they're doing boot camp light, and that they get made Marines. And of course, if you think that, wouldn't you resent then their presence in the Marine Corps if you felt
and
like
not
they?
And not only that, but the standard that the women are required to meet is dropped. They don't have the same physical standard, so that breeds discontent within the male Marines that a female can do a flex arm hang for 70 seconds and get a perfect score. And I think the numbers, correct me if you know off the top of my head, it's been a while, but I think the average, like 60% of females can do the 70-second flex arm hang, whereas only 12% of males can do 20 pull-ups, which equal the same amount of points. So females usually get, on average, or higher PFT scores in the Marine Corps, so that kind of breeds it. And then I think what they need to do is go with what the commandant said. Might not have been the commandant, where in infantry battalions now, if you go to the field, you are going to stay in the same tents. You're going to do everything the same once you're in the field. If you make everyone the same, then maybe people will be the same. But right now, the Marine Corps as a culture makes you very different. A male and a female Marine are very, very different, especially years E5 and below.
I think the Marine Corps, and of course this is not the only solution, you know, there's the root attitude issue that should be dealt with separately, but I think the Marine Corps is trying to get at that. For example, you mentioned the flexed arm hang. That's going away. There are new PFT and CFT standards that were introduced late last year. I don't have right in front of me when they're taking effect, but bottom line, you know, women cannot max out their arm strength score on the PFT unless they do those pull-ups. And I think their other option is a push-up now. So, you know, you're dealing with physical differences that are kind of hard to get around. You have to sort of acknowledge them, but I think the Marine Corps is trying to move in that direction.
One aspect that I've always thought that they should do away with is making the physical part and shooting sections of getting promotions for enlisted people, like reducing those. Because right now, if you run fast, you do a really good PFT, and you shoot well, you're getting promoted quickly in the Marine Corps. And a lot of times in your specific job, it doesn't even matter.
I was actually kind of curious because, Hope, you mentioned just yesterday you were in a hearing with some top brass. And, you know, you're obviously privy to some information that we are certainly not going to get. And if we get it, it'll probably be secondhand through some sort of publication. So, you know, going back to the situation that we're discussing with this Facebook page, do you think this is a situation that is being taken seriously? And at what level do you think this needs to be handled? And if you know, I mean, at what level is this being addressed? Like, is it going beyond just the top brass in each branch, you know, beyond that up to the White House? I mean, do you know any of that?
I know a little bit. I can't say whether this has crossed the desk of the president or anything like that. Right now it's a service issue. I was told earlier today by somebody in headquarters Marine Corps that this is their top priority. They are not focusing on anything with as much intensity as they're focusing on this. And I'm hearing from them, the people who work there at the Pentagon, that they want to change this for good. Even if it hurts, even if it's difficult, even if they have to pull apart all the pieces and put it back together. So I know that probably sounds pretty party line, but there's no other issue that's come up. Including, you may remember there are ongoing investigations having to do with drill instructors at Parris Island and that whole scandal. But even including that, I've never heard Marine officials take any issue this seriously.
Yeah, and that's pretty mind-blowing that you said that it's the top issue whenever we just put group boots on the ground in Syria, still have Afghanistan, and this is the top thing. It really shows how serious they really are taking it. But people were still mad at Sergeant Major Green because they didn't feel like his statement didn't go far enough. Did you feel that way?
Well, I understand a little bit of the history, which I think would be good for more people to wrap their heads around, which is that back in 2013, actually, I think it was 2012, the Commandant at the time, General James Amos, decided to tackle the issue of sexual assault and went out and made all these aggressive comments and I think, made specific statements about how 80% of reported sexual assaults are real and things like that. And defense attorneys jumped on that. And they even got people off because they said, the Commandant's so senior, he is so influential that if you heard his remarks, then it probably swayed the jury. So that's something that's called unlawful command influence in the military. And that's something that the Marine Corps is trying really hard to avoid now.
That's a great point. That's what they're trying to use with Bo Bergdahl with President Trump's comments on him before he was elected. Bo Bergdahl's trying to use that same exact defense.
The same thing. So I'm not necessarily coming out in defense of the sergeant major, but I know that they're calibrating the language very, very closely so that they don't thwart any prosecutions.
That's a great point. I hadn't even thought about that they have to be very careful about the language that they choose, because if they want to prosecute these people, you can't make it seem like it was a done deal, signed, sold, and delivered as soon as it went to the court-martial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're never going to hear them come out and say these guys are guilty of hell until, every last bit of this has been adjudicated.
That's a great point. I hadn't even thought about it that way. Well, thank you very much for coming on, Hope, and we hope to have you on again, and hopefully it's a brighter note where we're not shitting all over my branch of service.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed this.
All right, thanks, Hope. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Hope.
Well, thanks to Hope again for coming on. There was a couple things that she said that I don't agree with. One, I don't think this is going to be an issue that's going to shut the Marine Corps down. Like, at all. I don't think it's going to come close to touching that. And the Commandant has come out since we talked to Hope and made statements and delivered Mar admins. But the fact that I wanted to say this because I wasn't as strong because I wanted to let Hope be the strong voice in that conversation. The fact that it's an issue for Marines to have to be told again not to share their coworkers' fucking nude pictures makes me sick. As a Marine, like, going against everything that I know about honor, courage, and commitment and how we're supposed to respect our battle buddies to your left and our right, if you're the kind of guy that's doing that, you're a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Just no other way about it. Sharing nude pictures of people who don't want to be shared when they're your fucking battle buddy and you could be the one. And if you're an infantry dude listening, because it's usually that type that's like, oh, it's a wook, it's a female Marine, or some pussy that's never done anything, it's garbage. Like, to me, it makes me sick that the most things that are on why there's Marines in fucking Syria, Marines in Africa, in the Horn of Africa, Marines in Afghanistan, Marines in Iraq, and the thing that the people are focused on right now is the fact that you little horny fucks can't stop sharing pictures of your coworkers. It makes me sad, man. Like, as a Marine leader, it makes me sad.
I mean, even before that, as a decent human being, you shouldn't be doing this. But then you talk about Marines, you talk about other service members, I hold you to a higher standard, especially, you know, because you have people who are on top of you in your chain of command who are hopefully setting a good example and showing you how to act. So it's just completely unacceptable behavior. And I won't take the excuse, oh, boys are going to be boys. I think that's crap. You know what? People need to know better. I think that, thank gosh, you know, the issue is being addressed. And as much as it stinks, Chaps, I think that it's as public as it is. I think it might be one of those things where, all right, maybe this needed to go as public as it did to really smack some people upside the head and get them to move in the direction that they need to go. Because maybe the problem perpetuated itself because then it wasn't addressed properly to begin with. Either way, it needs.
I think it's a cop out. Does it? How do you need to have that addressed in several different ways?
No, you shouldn't. Like, no.
Don't share. Don't do revenge porn. No. Essentially, is what it comes down to.
Chaps, I agree with you. It shouldn't need to be addressed more than one time. But
yeah, I know. I'm not saying that you're condoning it. That's
No. But I'm saying this has happened before, and now it's happened again. So it's like, why did that happen again? One time should have been enough. That the leadership should have stepped in and said, nipped it in the bud, and said, all right, this will never happen again. Done whatever corrective action that needed to be done to completely eliminate it 100%. And obviously they didn't do that the first time because it came back. So I'm saying now that maybe that is really, it's embarrassing as shit. And I don't I'm not even going to say.
It's painting a picture of 206,000 active duty Marines right now, whenever it was 750 active who were part of that group, 150 reservists. So you have a group that's less than 1,000, less than whatever math that is.
Less than a percentage.
Yeah, less than one percentage point. But the fact that it's any, it shouldn't be any. It shouldn't be something. And not to mention, you're fucking idiots if you did it under your own, your real fucking name. Are you kidding me? Like, if you're on 4chan going out and trying to find celebrity news pictures like the Fappening, it's because you're an underground troll and you're looking for it and you're going to find devious shit because you're a devious person. If you're going on Facebook and using your real name, it just means you're a fucking idiot. Like, you're just an idiot.
Yeah, and we don't need that, so.
No.
And Hope, I'm glad that the Commandant came out strong. I wish he would come out stronger. I mean, to say that it affects combat readiness, who gives a fuck about that? It affects your reputation. It affects your moral standing in society because you want to be known as a Marine. You want to be known as a soldier. You want to be known as an airman or a sailor, of somebody who has the highest of soldierly virtue. And when you're doing that type of stuff, every single major award lists at the bottom, in keeping with traditions and the highest of military values. If you can't do that, you have no fucking place in the military at all. Because we need people who can pull the trigger with moral purposes. And that might sound like a contradiction to some, but it's absolutely true. So fuck you if you are in Marines United. Simple as that. Any save rounds, alibis.
Did you have any thoughts on that whole scenario?
I think it really sucks that I'm glad you guys painted out the numbers of it because it sucks for the guys that are, you know, upholding the values as they should and as the Marines have for a very, very long time, that they get painted with this. They got to be pissed. They got to be frustrated. They got to think a lot of their colleagues out there are fucking idiots, and they're right.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's for all Marines. Like, you know, it's for Chaps. It's for everyone else who's come before them.
Stanley Rubin.
Yeah, and Stanley Rubin. For all those men who fought for that good name, you're insulting them. So, you know, hopefully, as Chap said, the Commandant has come out and taken a real hard stand, so it'll get taken care of. But anyway, today is March 16th, and on this day, in 1802, Thomas Jefferson signed the document that established the United States Military Academy, and it brought you guys me. So, thank you, Thomas Jefferson.
Do you consider yourself all right? So, Marines, for example, I consider myself as a Marine born on Paris Island. Is that how you feel about you as a soldier?
That I was born on West Point.
Yeah. Is that a phrase that you guys use?
No, it's certainly not. But if you asked me what you just did, I would say, yeah, that's where my military career started. So that's what, you know, that's the root of it. And that's what I would take the most pride in.
It's a really popular phrase for us. I was born on Paris Island, or I was born in San Diego.
Yeah, no, that's a great phrase. Obviously, that holds true for you guys. But
you can't steal it.
Don't worry. Well, exactly. I'm not going to. So that's why I would never say I was born in West Point.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to be fucking Twitter searching that shit every day.
All right. So, yeah.
Captain Cons. Did he say it today? You motherfucker.
But this weekend, go Pirates. Go Seton Hall Pirates.
Wow. There you go. Hopefully I see you in Vegas, Cons.
Let's do it. ZBT
Yeah, that would be something. And then I'd just be here fucking puddling my dick like always.
Hey, actually, one last thing. On the radio show today, Chaps, Dave was talking about who he might want to take with him if he were to go. And he said, definitively, well, I'm not taking Chaps and Captain Cons. Those guys drink way too much, and I don't want to babysit.
That's true, because he had to babysit me kind of in San Diego. I mean, not really, but kind of. I left, and they got – I don't think I've ever told this story, but a drill instructor came up to the dude that we went with and reamed him the fuck out. So Dave actually got to see what it looks like when a junior Marine gets his ass, like, ripped apart by a senior Marine. So was worth the trip.
Why did he get reamed out?
Well, certain commanders, you have the command of discretion whenever you're going to wear dress blues at, like, the Marine Corps birthday ball. Like, you can either go, you're supposed to go technically wearing ribbons and badges. So, like, your rifle badge and, like, your ribbons, medals too, but just in ribbon form.
Yep.
That's how you're supposed to go in town, because medals are ceremonial dress only. But a lot of times, unit commanders have the discretion in saying, okay, you guys can go out in medals. And I heard this guy's unit commander say that, like, you don't have to go change. You can go out to the bars, like the local bars, as long as it's in, like, the vicinity of this hotel where we're doing the Marine Corps ball. Well, one of the courtesy patrols of guys like me, like senior staff and COs, was out, and he wasn't having it. So he ripped old boy's fucking ass. And the kid had asked me, he was like, hey, Chap, should I go change? He's like, your commander said you don't have to, so fuck anybody else. But the gunny that was there wasn't having it. So, and I don't blame him, because that would probably been me. Like, 6 years ago, that would have been me fucking ripping somebody's ass up. Sound the retreat.